Hey, I'm not speaking tonight. It's my great privilege to call up to the stage the guy that I get to share an office with. And Michael Porter Sr. is more than a, you can give him a round of applause, that's fine. I'll just say a quick word about Mike. Mike is not just a guy I get to share an office with. Michael is a man who I look up to. He is a man who encourages me daily. He is a man whom I am confident has a word for you all tonight, and I couldn't be more excited to get to hear what God is going to say through you. So,
all right, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Yep.
The only reason, thank you. The only reason he looks up to me is because I'm about a foot taller than him. That is it. But it is a real pleasure sharing an office with him and Dave Culver, so I'm learning a ton from these guys. I wish I could somehow plug in to each one of you and let you feel what I felt and think what I thought when I saw all you guys worshiping God during the music set there. It's the most beautiful thing ever, man. It's the most beautiful thing ever. So they've given me 30 minutes. I promise you, this ain't gonna take that long. I do got a couple things to say. But before I get started, I gotta get something off my chest. The worship prompted it. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be blessing, glory, honor, and power forever. I don't have the words to describe God's transcendence. But after tonight, I hope that you will get a renewed sense of identity and purpose, because that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, identity and purpose. But before I get started, let me ask you a couple questions. Why are you here? Why were you born? You know, what was God thinking? What did he have in mind when he knit you together in his mother's womb, let you bake for 9 months, and then slide into this earthly realm safely? What was he thinking? What was the plan? Mary Shelley wrote a really famous fictional novel. And it featured this young scientist who was into weird stuff, alchemy and stuff like that. As he got older, he became interested in chemistry and electricity and also the nature of life. He became obsessed with trying to create life differently than it had been created to this point. He became so obsessed, he started robbing graveyards of dead bodies. He started going to mortuaries and taking bodies. He would even go to slaughterhouses and get animal parts. So after a lot of experimentation, after a lot of tries and failure, he finally did it. He had this humanoid body shape that he was able to reanimate and give life. Now, you guys all know how the story of Frankenstein ends, right? Doesn't end too well for that being that he created. But the tragedy, the real tragedy of that Frankenstein story is that after the monster was, well, he became a monster, but after he was created, after he was given life, after he was taken from nothing and made into something, he took the life that he had been given and he used it in such a way that he turned against his creator. And his creator became a victim of his creation. The monster, we know him as Frankenstein, he became that because He took the life he had been given and he used it for his own purposes. He used it for his own purposes. And I think about that story and I'm like, does that sound familiar to you guys at all? That's the story of us. God knit us in our mother's womb, knit us together, gave us life. And oftentimes we take this life that he's given us, this precious, sacred life that he's given us, and we use it in ways he never intended for it to be used. And our Creator became our victim. Jesus had to give his life to rescue us from this mess. Now, my question is, why do we do that? Why do we do what we do with our lives? We hurt each other. We lie to each other. We do all the stuff that we do in this world. There's lots of reasons why. A couple, the main one is sin, right? Sin. You and I, this world is permeated with sin. It's in the air we breathe. It's infected us. It's in us. We can't help it. But another reason, or it contributes to the sin is that, you know, we don't really know who we are. We really don't. And we don't know why we're here. What are we supposed to be doing? What is our purpose in this earth? I ask you again, why were you born? Why are you here? What is it that God wants you to do? Well, the passage of scripture we're going to look at tonight, it's 13 verses, and it's kind of long, sorry. But we're going to read that together, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit, and then we'll talk about some other things, all right? Okay, that's the wrong one. I got off script. My bad. Well, if you don't know much about God, if you don't know anything at all about God, the one thing that you could take my word on is that God always has a plan. Always has a plan. Even things that look random, things that randomly happen to you, it's not random. There's a plan. I know what I planned for you, says the Lord God. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. That's how God thinks about you. In the randomness and the brokenness of this world, God's got good plans for us, man. But we take the life that he's given us and we don't manage it in the way that he would have us do it. So how do we get from where we are to these plans? How do we get there? How do we get to lives filled with purpose, identities that are rock solid? How do we get there? Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Let's read this together. When I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. So, God, I'm sorry, go back. Yep. Sorry. He got his purpose straight from God, and we'll see that more clearly here in a second. Go ahead, I'm sorry. As you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Keep going. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Hold on, don't change it. So, because this isn't part of what you're waiting for me to say. I've read the Bible a lot in my life. And the one thing that I can tell you guys is that you can read the Bible 100 times, and in 100 times you can get new stuff. You'll see stuff that you didn't notice before. Just this week, as I was preparing to be here with you guys, I read this, and it shook me because I had never seen it this way before, but where he says, this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Now, that probably means a lot to me because of my particular background and what I've experienced. I think I've shared with you guys before. I grew up in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 60 miles from the Gulf of Mexico. And that was a place that for a long time, I mean, even still, but it's not as bad as it was, relationships between the races. You guys are all familiar with the history of African-American people in this country. And I'm not here to talk about all of that. I'm trying to tell you what I saw new here and try to encourage you to get into your word because, man, you can, it's living. It's a living document. But what this said to me is that as I thought about our history, you know, it used to be against the law in America to teach a black person to read. Black people weren't allowed in churches. Black people, once they were emancipated, weren't allowed to go to many seminaries. So for a long time in this country, black folks have felt like second-class citizens in the household of faith. Like we were trying to look in through the windows. We couldn't go in the building. We weren't allowed. So it could feel like when you read the Bible, oh, that's not about me. I'm reading a story about somebody else, somebody else's faith journey. But when I read this today, I realized that the Bible's story is my story. All of us. There's other places in the New Testament where it says there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. We're all part of the same body. We all have an equal share of the same blessings. And what that does for you, you know, we're talking about identity here tonight. I'll get into it a little deeper here in a second, but if you let your soul marinate on that truth, because in this, we live in a world where we're constantly trying to divide each other. There's lines everywhere. There's black, there's white, there's Democrat, there's Republican. You know, there's these lines everywhere that keep us from being like this sometimes. Jesus' death, and then the fact that later on, God says this through Paul, destroys all of that, man. Destroys every single bit of it. You and I have a right to enter the throne room and seek help when we need it, just as much as anybody else. All right, enough. Let's keep going. By God's grace, go back. I didn't finish that one. By God's grace, we should have practiced. That's my fault, you know. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. And that is good news. Okay, thanks. Go ahead. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Okay. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom. I know how to spell display. Sorry. Use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. All right. So let's look at this. Let's look at this again, man. Ephesians 3:1-5. The stuff in yellow is what I want to emphasize. Paul here, he says, I, Paul, a prisoner. Some translations render that as captive. I, Paul, a captive or a prisoner of Christ Jesus. See, this is how he sees himself. Remember, identity is who you are. It's the core of who you are, who you believe yourself to be. And again, we find our identity in all sorts of places and experiences. This is where we need to find it, in Jesus Christ. For the benefit of you Gentiles, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me. So he's telling you, gave me the special responsibility. He's telling us that this revelation, this thing that he got, this new idea, because for the Jews, this was a new idea, that Gentiles were included in the family of God. Man, that would have lost you your life at one point in history. To say that even, they would have stoned you. God gave him the special responsibility of extending his grace to the Gentiles, as I briefly wrote earlier. So that's his mission, the special responsibility, his purpose of extending God's grace to the Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. So this isn't something he's making up. He's saying, listen, man, I'm a prisoner of Christ. I do what he tells me. I say what he tells me to say. I go where he tells me to go. Through his identity in Christ, his purpose came, his mission, what he was supposed to do. And that's, I wonder, man, do you guys know what you're supposed to do with your life? I don't know how many people are here. I don't know, 500, 600, something like that. It's a good number of folks here. Do you guys know what it is that God wants from you? Because of all these people in here, this is, let's say there are 600. This is 600 sets of different talents and abilities and perspectives, likes and dislikes. And a lot of it was put inside you when he knit you together in your mother's womb. But do you know? Do you know exactly what it is that he wants you to do? Now, at the risk of making it sound like purpose is a destination, it's not. It's something that will continually unfold as you follow Christ. And that's the key. You and I, we have to consider ourselves to be prisoners of Christ Jesus. Let's go on. As you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. Now remember, all this comes from what God has shown him. He's not giving us his own ideas. Keep going. And he says it again here, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, I love that humility. I love that. Why do you think he says that he's the least deserving of all God's people, especially for this privilege by spreading this good news? I would imagine he's thinking, I can't be for sure, but part of it is because he persecuted the church really hard. He put his back into it, man. He was really trying to stamp out the church. And he came to know Jesus when he was on the road to Damascus in a very dramatic conversion experience. Though I'm the least deserving of all God's people, because I was trying to kill him at first, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen. All these things that he's saying about himself, I was given, or I have been given, I was chosen. All the things that he said in the verses before is all rooted in his identity in Christ. So if you want to know what it is that God wants you to do, remember those plans. We read Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the plans he has for you. They're great plans. They're great plans. Not going to always be easy. Why? Because this world is broken and sinful and jacked. It really is. But we'll show you here in a minute how Paul is excited about what's happening with him. See, you got to remember, and I didn't say this at the beginning, he wrote this letter from prison. Paul wrote Ephesians from prison, you know? And if you, I don't know if you, yeah, you won't remember. So, and I won't ask you to go back to it. I'm sorry. So I'll just go from here. All right. At the very end of that section that we read, well, first of all, he calls himself a prisoner of Christ for the sake of the Gentiles. But then down here at the end, he says, please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you. So you should feel honored. Now, what happens when you root your identity in Christ, man? When you know that you're rolling with Christ no matter what happens, no matter what your friends say, no matter what your boss says, no matter what, when you know that that is where your bread is buttered, well, what happens is you get this weird peace in trying circumstances. In all this stuff that we've read, does he sound like he's panicking? Does he sound like he's anxious or fearful? He doesn't. The Bible defines that as peace that surpasses understanding. And you and I will never experience the peace of God like that, to that level, unless our identity is in Christ. That's the only way it happens, man. All right. Is that the last one? Oh, thanks. So this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly. You and me can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you. So you should feel honored. You should feel honored. So I have another question for you. Do you identify with Christ, or do you identify more with your sorority or fraternity? your girlfriend, or your boyfriend. Does your social status complete the identity picture for you? Is that where you get it from? Peace comes from having your identity rooted in something that you can't lose and that can't be taken from you. All the stuff that I mentioned, even wealth and affluence, can be taken from you. It can change. And that's why some of us feel so anxious. Constantly worried about what other folks are thinking of us. Constantly worried about how we look to other folks. How we appear. Listen, man, allow your identity to be rooted in Christ, and all that stuff takes care of itself. So, with the few minutes that I have left, how do you strengthen your identity in Christ, you think? How do you chase your purpose, the right purpose? How do you get there? I think it all begins with God's word. The Bible says you and I are transformed when we renew our minds. We are transformed when we renew our minds. You and I got to hang out in God's word. You know what it's like? It's like when you meet a girl or a guy that you kind of are interested in. And as you guys are getting to know each other, you learn what each other like and don't like. We start to learn what each other's opinions is on certain things. And we subconsciously, or sometimes consciously, change how we act, how we talk, how we think. Because I care about this person and I really want to get to know them better. That's kind of how that whole thing happens with God. As you spend time in his word, you find out what he likes and what he doesn't like. You find out his expectations. You become familiar with his views on certain things. And some things take a long time to change, but some things don't. And that's how you start to root your identity in Christ. I'll tell you something that I've done. I just started doing it recently. And I think it makes a difference, man. I've been journaling for some years now. And I've been using the same journal template. And in this template, I write down three things I'm grateful for. I write down just all this stuff. But there's a section where I write down a daily affirmation. These affirmations are based on God's word, but they're in my words. And I might not even change God's word. For instance, one of mine would be, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart today. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to submit to him in all that I do and then sit back and watch him direct my path. So what I did, man, was I took my phone. You know that there's a voice memo app on these phones and you can record yourself. And I went back years writing down these affirmations, rewriting some of them, put them in the order that I wanted. And I recorded myself reading my affirmations. So now, in the morning when I get up, I try to let the first thing I do is listen to those affirmations. Start my day off with the right energy. Start my day off with my mind on God and the things of God. And I tell you what, by the end of the day, I'm cussing when I drive again, but not really, not really. I'm just kidding. I don't do that when I drive. But I can feel how as the day wears on and your energy wanes or whatever, things can change. But what if I hadn't started my day off like that? Because the first half of the day is awesome for me. I'm thinking godly thoughts. I'm being kind to my wife. I'm doing all the things. I'm being the person that I know I'm supposed to be. As long as I keep this stuff in the forefront of my mind, man, and that's the key. In Isaiah, God says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. The mind is the key, y'all. I'm telling you. Your life changes. Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so is he. Put good stuff into your mind. Don't just float through life. Chase your purpose. Listen, Jesus changed the world with 12 uneducated dudes. Well, 11 uneducated dudes. One of them was a doctor. But look at how many of us are in here. What could we do? What could we do if we were living our lives according to his purposes and his plans? If we let our identities be rooted in the rock. All right. That's all I got. God bless you guys, man. Let me pray real quick. God, I thank you for young people. I love the energy. I wish I still had it. I thank you for these people, that these young folks that come here every Tuesday night and hear what they hear. They worship you. I believe they come here because they want to know you better, Father. Your word says if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So I pray that each one of them, for each one of them, in a really unique and special way, that they recognize that you would draw near to them, reveal yourself to them, show them what their purpose is. Help them to be who you created them to be. Thank you so much for tonight, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.